ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुषुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधयितं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात् दिशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पापनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरतिष्ये नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधवृन्दावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 24। Chapter is entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Text number 14. Ima duhitara satyas tava vatsa sumadhyama sargametam prabhavaisaye Brahma is anti anekadha. Ima duhitara satyas. Tava vatsa sumadhyama. Sargametam prabhavaisaye. ब्रह्मैश अन्ति अनेकधा इमा दुहितर सत्य तब वत्स सुमध्यमा सर्गमेतं प्रभवैषये। ब्रह्मैश अन्ति अनेकधा imaha these duhitarah daughters satyah chest tava your vatsa O my dear son sumadhyama thin wasted sargam creation etam this prabhavai by descendants sai their own brahmahi santi they will increase anekadha in various ways. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's 9 daughters, saying, all your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure they will increase their creation by their own descendants in various ways. Please repeat. Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's 9 daughters. Saying, all your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure they will increase this creation by their own descendants in various ways. Purport. In the beginning of creation, Brahma was concerned more or less with increasing the population. And when he saw that Kardama Muni had already begotten 9 nice daughters, he was hopeful that through the daughters many children would come who would take charge of the creative principle of the material world. He was therefore happy to see them. The word Sumadhyama means a good daughter of a beautiful woman. If she has a thin waist, a woman is considered very beautiful. All the daughters of Kardama Muni were of the same beautiful मुखम करति वाचलम पंगुल लंघायते गिरिं जत कृपा तमाम वंदे श्री गुरु दिन तारिणम परमानंद माधवम श्री चैतन्य शरम नमो शिवाय. Today's verse and tomorrow's verse talks about the daughters of Kardama Muni. And how Brahma was very pleased seeing these 9 daughters of Kardama Muni, hoping that they will be very capable to have nice population. Why Kardama Muni did that? Because that was the desire of Brahma. So we are discussing, I was talking day before yesterday's Bhagavatam class, that disciple main business is to follow the order of the spiritual master, Toto. That was the purport of Srila Prabhupada. So Kardama Muni is not building temples. Kardama Muni is not spreading the holy name. Still, Brahma was so happy. Why Brahma was so happy? Because Kardama Muni was fulfilling the desire of Brahma. The service. So service is very important. So Kardama Muni knew that Brahma wanted to create population. So these verses explain the duty of the householders. So generally, according to Varnashram Dharma, there are 4 spiritual order: Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. Out of these 4, in the 3 ashramas, sex is not allowed. Sex life is completely prohibited. Only grihasthas can engage in sex life. And one of the important grihastha dharma is to create progeny, have children. So raising children, having children, and make the children Krishna conscious is one of the primary duty of the grihasthas. So nowadays, people have different concepts sometimes. Because family life has been perceived in a different way. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two kinds of grihastha dharma, two kinds of grihasthas, grihastha and grihamedhi. Sukadeva Goswami, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is explaining in detail what are the symptoms of grihamedhis and what are the symptoms of grihasthas. So grihamedhis are those are not focusing in spiritual life. They don't have any spiritual knowledge. Sotavayadini Rajendram Ninangshanti Sahasrasa Apashyatam Atmatattam Grihesu Grihamedhinam. They may stay in house. Staying in house is not enough to make that house an ashram. So grihastha order of life is also an ashram. And what is the meaning of ashram? The Lord is the center of life. But for the grihamedhis, Lord is not the center of life. What is the center of life? Sense gratification is the center of life. That's grihamedhi. They talk. There are so many things to talk about. Sukadeva Goswami is telling, Sotavyadini Rajendam Ninansanti Sahasrasa. Sahasrasa means thousands of topics are available. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to say, there are so many newspapers coming out every day. And they are talking about this insignificant portion of the creation. So many news. But the spiritual world is 3/4 of the whole creation. But there is no newspaper available. That's why Srila Prabhupada started Back to Godhead magazine. At least some news should be there. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say, there are so many news in the spiritual world, you can have newspaper at every moment. Unlimited news. It is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has performed so many pastimes. Even Ananta says with his 1,000 mouths, cannot talk about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu for one day. One day pastimes of Mahaprabhu cannot be described by him. Unlimited. But because we don't have that information, we are having attachment for the news of this world. Very attached. Somebody asks Prabhupada, there is newspaper in the spiritual world, then I will go there. Very attached to newspaper. So we love to have news in our life. And when we don't have the news of the spiritual world, our life is focused towards the news of this material world. So coming to the point that the grihamedhis, they have thousands of topics to discuss, but they don't have any information of Krishna. That's why they are called grihamedhi. So one of the meaning of house is called bhavan. Bhavan. Bhavan means house. And bhavan, bha means Bhagavan, the Lord. A house becomes bhavan when Bhagavan or Lord is there in that house. If there is no Lord, bha is out. Then if you take out bha from bhavan, then it only becomes ban. And ban means forest. And who stays in the forest? Animal stays in the forest. So the moral of the story is, if in a house there is no Lord, that house is forest and that life of that house is animal life. And that is the verdict of Srimad Mahabharata also. Ahar nidra bhai maithunangcha samanna metat pusubi naranam dharmai tesa madhika vishesa dharmya nahina pusubi samanam. Sitting, sleeping, mating and defending are the four principal activities of the animals and also human beings. But if human beings only do this eating, sleeping, mating and defending, they are considered animals. Prabhupada used to say sophisticated, polished animals. But doing the same thing. Maybe style of eating, style of sleeping, style of defending is different. But activity is the same. So therefore, human form of life has some higher purpose. And that higher purpose is Krishna consciousness. So Grihastha order of life is also meant to cultivate that goal of human form of life. So when the Grihasthas, they keep Krishna in the center and making Krishna consciousness at the prime goal of life, that is real household life. They are called Grihastha. And the house they stay, that is known as Grihastha Ashram. So there are different duties of the Grihasthas because they are the backbone of the society. Why? Because they have a lot of responsibilities. They have social responsibilities, they have financial responsibilities. They have so many things to do in this world because other three groups are not so social, unsocial groups. You know, that brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi, they are unsocial groups. And grihasthas are social groups. Why? Because brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, they don't stay in the society. They stay either, Prabhupada used to say, in the varnasram dharma system, in Vedic system, brahmachari used to stay in Gurukul, vanaprastha they stay in the forest, and sannyasis they move around. Right? No house. Only grihasthas have house. So they have a lot of responsibility. They stay in one place. And they are supposed to maintain all the three ashramas. It is explained like that. So very big responsibility. And Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in Srimad Bhagavatam purport, only the grihasthas can earn money. The brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, they are not supposed to earn money. And grihasthas should earn money and serve the other three ashramas. It's a big burden, right? It's a big responsibility. And grihasthas, they should earn money according to Srila Prabhupada in the purport. They have the right to earn money, but they should earn money for two purposes. He is very strongly writing in Srimad Bhagavatam. They should earn money only for two purposes. For the service of the Lord and for the service of the devotees. These are two purposes grihastha should earn money. Because money belongs to the Lord and the Brahmanas. Every wealth, everything belongs to Lord and His pure devotees, especially the Brahmanas. So nothing belongs to us. So therefore, everything should be engaged in the service. So charity is one of the dharma of grihasthas, giving charity. Because there are many material attractions in this world, many material attachments. And the money is the central focus of that attachment. Because if we have money, then we can have all the sense objects available, right or wrong. So therefore people are mad after money in Kali Yuga. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, people are ready to do anything to earn money. And money, and people have concept, if you have money, then you are happy. But according to the scriptures, money is not the source of happiness. We need money to maintain our life. But money cannot be the source of happiness, what we are hankering for. We may think, oh, if we have money, we can improve our social status. If we have money, we can have so many facilities, amenities, gadgets, so many things, then we'll be happy. No. So there is a research done, who is happy in this world? So the survey was conducted. European countries, American countries, different countries. Then the survey showed the people from the so-called advanced countries are very unhappy. And shocking news is that the people from Bangladesh are the happiest people in this world. And Bangladesh is supposed to be the poorest country in the whole world. So some people think, oh, they're better to become poor. Poverty is a source of happiness. So neither money nor poverty is a source of happiness. So I narrate a story of two ladies. One is rich, one is poor. So these two ladies were sitting and having dinner, and one day both of them started crying. So poor lady asked the rich lady, "Why are you crying?" Then rich lady said, "I am crying because I don't have any friend." Then poor lady said, "Come on, you have so many friends, you are surrounded by people." He said, "I may be surrounded by people, but they are not my friends. They are the friends of my money." So when you have position, when you have prestige in the society, when you have money, then people move around with you. And the foolish people think they are the friends. They are not the friends. And check if these people will move around with you if you don't have position, if you don't have money. Then you will understand who is your friend. So in this world, most of the people are selfish by nature. They are friends when you have good time. So this lady realized that. And she realized because she could understand that these people are with me because of my money. And she prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, in my next life I am to take birth in a poor family." Then the poor rich lady asked the poor lady, "Why are you crying?" Then poor lady said, "I am crying because I also don't have any friend." And she said, "Why?" "Because I have no money. That's why I have no friend." In this world, if you have no money, nobody will be there with you. So she said, "I am praying to the Lord that in my next life I am to take birth in a rich family." So now we should decide whether to take birth in a rich family or poor family. But the essence of the story is that we are all poor in this world. Because we only have money. So money cannot make us rich. Money only makes us poor. Because money is not the wealth that belongs to us. It does not belong to us. It will go away. It stays for some time and it goes away. It does not stay with us. Because everything belongs to the Lord. Bhaktarang jagatapasang sarvaloka maheshwaram suvidang sarvabhutanam gattamang santimichyati. That's why Krishna has told three principles of peace. First is that everything belongs to the Lord and Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of everything. Because everything belongs to Him. And when we have that concept clear, then it becomes easy for us to lead a happy and peaceful life. But we think that something belongs to us also. And that's why hankering and lamentation take place in our life. As long as hankering and lamentation will be there, we cannot be happy. So money cannot give us happiness. So what will give us happiness? That wealth which cannot be bought by money, that gives us happiness. So human life is meant to accumulate that wealth which cannot be bought by money. That is the purpose of human form of life. And love for Krishna is that wealth. Every living entity is hankering for love. They want to love someone and they want to be loved by someone. That is the nature of every living entity, including the Lord. And that is the foundation and that is the source of our happiness and bliss. But in this world, love is also taken in a very cheap way. I love you. So cheap nowadays. So according to Shastra, love does not exist in this world. Because every relationship in this world is based on selfish motives. Atmendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, Krishnendriya priti vancha dhare premanam. It is said, when you have the desire to satisfy your own senses and mind, that is called lust. And when you desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna, that is called love. So, if Krishna is not there, then there is no question of love. So-called love of this world is lust. And that is the source of misery. Lust is very attractive. But that gives us only suffering. Prabhupada used to say, the glitter of this world is very attractive. Just like the waves of the ocean look so beautiful, right? Attractive. But it is beautiful as long as you are little far from that wave. Right or wrong? And if you jump into that wave, what will happen? You will have problem. So the so-called beauty or glitter of this world is nice, but it should be seen from a distance and offer respect. So that is this material world. So, happiness does not come, but we feel that from that I will get happiness. And people are thinking, I am not happy, but he is happy. I am not happy, but she is happy. Everybody is thinking, I am not happy, but others are happy. And if I have that, I will be happy. So those who are students, they are thinking, we are suffering because I don't have a job. So if I get a job, I will be happy, right? The students think having a job is the source of happiness. And when you get a job, then you think, oh, student life was better. So those who are studying, they are happy. Those who are doing job. And those who are doing job, they are thinking, those who are doing business, they are happy. And those who are doing business think, my God, 24/7. So better to have job, so we have some holidays. Right? So they are thinking, those who are doing job, they are happy. People are, those who are staying in India, they are thinking, if you go to Australia, we'll be happy. Or go to America or Europe, we'll be happy. We can earn a lot of more money, so we'll be more happy. And people of America, Australia, they think, my God, it's so difficult country, better to go to India, we'll have some peace and happiness in life. So those who are not married yet thinking, oh my God, when I'll be married? Those who are married, so happy. So those who are not married, they're thinking, those who are married, they're happy. And those who are married now thinking, my God, why I'm married? Those who are not married, they're happy. But the essence is that nobody is happy. But because of Maya, everybody is thinking, I am not happy, I am so unfortunate, others are happy. That's the way Krishna has arranged this world. Beautiful manager, Krishna is. Because we have to keep on moving now. If that motivation is not there, that if I get this, I'll be happy, then we'll stop functioning. So that is the driving force, and that is called hankering. Hankering is a driving force to become happy in this world. We hanker for those things which we don't have, and we lament for those things which we have lost. So hankering and lamentations are the symptoms of conditioned soul. And as long as hankering and lamentation will be there, we cannot experience happiness. Only frustration. Only frustration. Oh, I don't have this, I had this, I lost it. Losing and hankering. So it will go on. And you cannot be happy. Because happiness cannot be bought by things. So it's an experience of the heart. Happiness can be experienced within. That's why spiritual life is a life, it's a journey within. That's very important. We have to focus our consciousness within, because Krishna resides within, in the heart. So that if happiness is experienced when the soul is connected with the Supreme, that is the secret of our happiness. Connection. That's called yoga. Yoga is not physical exercise. Nowadays people think yoga means physical exercise, breathing exercise. That is another kind of yoga. But real yoga is to connect ourselves. Life is meant for connecting. So if we are not connected with the source of happiness, then how we can feel happiness? So Krishna is the source of happiness and bliss. So human form of life is meant to learn how to connect ourselves. So in the same way, in the grihastha order of life, the purpose is not to enjoy life. The purpose is to connect with the Supreme. That is the purpose of whole human society. The whole human life is meant for renunciation. People don't like to hear renunciation. As soon as renunciation, what's happening? Renounce, renounce, renounced. People don't feel nice about that. Right? And if you talk to the grihastha, renunciation, they are not married, they don't know what is grihastha life. They all give big lecture. But whether we are brahmachari, vanaprastha, grihastha, sannyasi, the life of human form, life of a human should be based on renunciation. If the goal of life is to enjoy, then after grihastha life, there is no question of vanaprastha life. What is the need? You can enjoy life. Some people enjoy life and then you will get Krishna. There is one philosophy in India also. By having sex, you will see Krishna one day. There's another one philosophy is there like that. You enjoy life, from enjoyment detachment comes. So, but by enjoying or by detaching yourself, you cannot get Krishna. Purpose said, attachment and detachment are the two sides of the same coin. Those who talk so much about renunciation, they are most attached people. You understand? The frustrated attachment is detachment. So don't talk about detachment. What is the real detachment? Real detachment is to engage ourselves in the service of the Lord. That is called renunciation. Renounced means renunciation from the sense objects and engaging our senses in the service of the Lord. That is bhakti. Sarvaupadhi vinirmuktam tatparatana nirmalam risikena risikesha sevanang bhakti ruchyate. So when we are free from all designations, so household life is also a designation. Brahmachari is also a designation. Man, woman is designation. So in the Shastra, somewhere it is written, women are less intelligent. It's a big problem in ISKCON, very big confusion. So somebody asks Prabhupada, women are less intelligent, because people are here, some women topic is there. So Prabhupada said, if you feel you are a woman, then you are less intelligent, yes. So we are not man or woman. That's the fundamental principle of bhakti. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. If so much crying, whether I am man or woman, there's a bodily platform of life. Prabhupada's first teaching is that we should be free from the bodily concept of life. So as soon as we start identifying with our body, then we are stuck in material entanglement. So why we have different duties? Because we have different body. It will not happen. It's very humble mic. He cannot stay. Fix the mic. So why different varieties are given? Why everything is not same? Equality. We talk about equality. Externally we cannot be equal, but internally we can become equal. The spirit soul is equal, but body cannot be equal. A brahmachari is different from grihastha. A grihastha is different from vanaprastha. A vanaprastha is different from a sannyasi. If you say everybody is same, then what's the point? Because everybody has different nature. And according to different nature, we have to be in a different situation. So if that variety is not there, then life is totally meaningless. Because people are having different varieties. That variety is also there in the spiritual world. Then everybody should become gopis. Then why is the need of cowherd boys? Why is the need of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda? Why is the need of cows? Why is the need of trees? If everybody wants to become gopis. So there is a need of every variety. In our society also, we need so many varieties. We need brahmacharis, we need grihasthas, we need vanaprasthas, and we need sannyasis. And according to Varnasram Dharma, the society should be divided into four equally. 25% brahmacharis, 25% grihasthas, 25% vanaprasthas, and 25% sannyasis. But in Kali Yuga, no concept of brahmachari, no concept of vanaprastha, and no concept of sannyasis, and no concept of grihastha also. Because there is no varnashram dharma in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada used to say they live a life of animals. No restrictions. Unrestricted sense enjoyment. And we call them as household life. It's not household life. The purpose of household life should not be based on sex life. Sex is not the principle of any ashram. Krishna is the principle. Krishna consciousness is the principle of human form of life. That's why Varnashram Dharma Prabhupada said is the basic principle of human society. Where the principle is to restrict sense enjoyment. The training is given. The brahmachari training is the foundational training given. Why? Because they are trained that human form of life is to learn how to control our senses. For that we need training. We don't need training how to enjoy senses, right? Then no. No, not much training is needed. But Kali Yuga education system is training them how to enjoy senses. Wasting our time. So training should be given how to control the senses. Training should be given how to control the mind. That is the purpose of human society. That is the purpose of Varnashram Dharma. Why we need to control our senses? Because when we control our senses, then we can focus on the real aspect of human form of life. The soul is within. Sense objects are external, but the real identity of us is the spirit soul that is within. So that introspection comes when we are taught, when we are trained how to control our senses. If that training is not given, then we cannot focus. Human form of life never begins. That question, who am I, will not come if we are not given this training. So human form of life begins with that question, who am I? Why am I suffering? I don't want to suffer, but suffering is imposed on us. So that question will come when we are trained in that way from the very beginning of our human form of life. So scientific. But if you are not trained like that, that question will not arise. Because animals don't ask that question, why I have to die? They don't ask. As soon as they get up, they are searching for food. After food, sex, then defend, like that. They don't have any other question. But that question comes into the mind of human form of life. And that is the purpose actually, Athato Brahma Jigyasa, to ask. We have a foresight to see that I don't want to die, why I have to die? I don't want to become old, why I have to become old? I don't want to have diseases. Why I have diseases? These are the problems of life. So why I have to go through these problems? I don't want that. So who is imposing on us? Why it is imposed on us? We don't want that. So therefore, this is very, very important. That inquiry, that why we are suffering. So controlling the senses is very, very important principle. People cannot relate why you have to control our senses. Because controlling the senses is the beginning of spiritual search. If you don't do that, then we lead a life of animals. No inquiry will be there. No question. No spiritual question will come into our mind. So Varnashram Dharma is very, very important. And Kardava Muni is performing the duty of a householder. And because of that, Brahma was very happy. So when we perform our duty nicely, then spiritual master is happy. So therefore, when you are brahmachari, we should fulfill the dharma of brahmachari. When we are in grihastha order of life, we should fulfill the dharma of grihastha order of life. When you are in vanaprastha order of life, we should follow that dharma. And when you are sannyasis, we should follow that dharma. But in Kali Yuga, those who are brahmachari thinking of grihastha life, those who are grihastha thinking of brahmachari life. And that's why whole chaos in the society. So when we are brahmachari, oh, marriage is better, better to marry. So after marriage, we say, no, I was better as a brahmachari. So it's not a life of lamentation. Then you are, same thing you are doing, hankering and lamentation. Whether you are brahmachari or grihastha, you have to suffer. Because this world is a world of suffering. Nothing is perfect in this world. Nothing is perfect. Brahmachari life is also not perfect. Grihastha life is not also perfect. Vanaprastha life is also not perfect. Sannyas life is also not perfect. Everything is imperfect. Because the material world is a world of imperfection. Prabhupada said it's a bad bargain. We should know how to best use of the bad bargain. So when you are in brahmachari life, you should know how to engage that in the service of the Lord. When you are grihastha, you should know how to engage that in the service of the Lord. When you are vanaprastha, you should know how to engage that in the service of the Lord. And when you are a sannyasi, you should know how to engage in the service of the Lord. So service of Krishna is important. Brahmachari life will be glorious when this life is dedicated for the service of the Lord. Grihastha life will be glorious when it is engaged in the service of the Lord. Vanaprastha life will be glorious if it is engaged in the service of the Lord. Sannyas order of life will be glorious if it is engaged in the service of the Lord. But if you are not engaged in the service of the Lord, nothing is glorious. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is glorious, not because he is grihastha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is glorious because his life was dedicated for the service of Krishna. And that's why sannyasis used to come and hear from him. Generally, sannyasi should not hear from grihasthas. According to Varnashram Dharma, grihasthas should hear from sannyasis. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an elevated grihastha, he had only 11 children. Only 11. Nowadays grihasthas feel difficult to manage one child, two child, 11 children. And how was his lifestyle? Completely engaged in the service of the Lord. We should not give an excuse, Prabhu, we are grihasthas, you know. So read the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Prabhu, we cannot get time because we have children. He had only 11 children. And see how he was doing. So nothing can be an excuse because everything is a bad bargain. So you have to know how to engage. That should be the goal. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, he used to get up at 10 o'clock in the evening when he used to sleep. 7:30, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to sleep. And he used to get up at 10 o'clock. And 10 to 4, he used to write books. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then he used to take some little rest. The whole life is given. How he used to spend time, whole day. He is a grihastha. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life is also glorious. Why? Not because he was a Naishthika Brahmachari, then becomes a sannyasi. His life is glorious because his life was completely dedicated for the service of the Lord. So equally respect Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. No difference. Because they are engaged. Their life was glorious because they are engaged in the service of the Lord. Their life was not meant for sense gratification. Their life was not meant for other purposes. Their whole life was dedicated for the service of Krishna. That life is glorious life. Dedicated life is glorious. Whether you are in a brahmachari order, grihastha order, vanaprastha order or sannyasa order. That is not so important. So how we are engaged in the service of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada was very proud. He said, my Guru Maharaj Sannyasi disciple could not do what my Grihastha disciples are doing all over the world. Glorious. Because they spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. They are glorious not because they are Grihasthas. And Prabhupada used to say, my Grihastha disciples are better than the Sannyasis. Why? Because they are dedicating all the time for the service of the Lord. That is Sannyasi life. Sannyasi life means engaging the body, mind, words 24 hours a day for the service of the Lord. That is Sannyasi life. If a Grihastha can do that, he is also Sannyasi. He does not need to wear the Sannyasi dress. So that is the essence. The essence of human form of life is to serve. If service is there, when you engage in the service of the Lord, then that is glorious. So Varnasram Dharma is focused about that. How we are engaging our time in the service of the Lord. Then it will be glorious. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling, Jidina Grihe Bhajana Dekhi Grihete Goloka Bhai. So you don't have to go to Vrindavan or you don't have to experience Vrindavan somewhere else. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling, when the house is centering around Krishna, doing Krishna bhajan, that house becomes Vrindavan. Because Krishna is the center. So what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is, Krishna is the center of our life. When Krishna is the center in our house also, that house also becomes Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us. But if we stay in the temple also, if Krishna is not the center of our life, then this place may not be Vrindavan for us. So, what is the center of our life? Center of our life should be Krishna. If the sense gratification is the center of life, we are Grihamedis. If Krishna is the center of life, we are proper Grihasthas. So here Kardama Muni is exhibiting the example of a good disciple by performing the duties which is desired by his spiritual master. He is not a sannyasi. Right? Kardama Muni is not a sannyasi. He fulfilled the desire of his guru. That's why he is glorious. So our life also will be glorious when our life is dedicated for the service of our spiritual master. When his desire is fulfilled, then life will become perfect. So when guru is satisfied with the disciple, that is the perfection of life. Kardama Muni got perfection because his guru, Brahma, was very satisfied with Kardama Muni. So wherever we are, our life should be dedicated for the service of the Lord. And our life should be dedicated to please the Guru and Vaishnavas. And that is the perfection of our human form of life. And Kardama Muni is doing that. That's why he is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jor Premanande. Any question? Now 8:35.
Prabhupada, I just want to share my experience and thought. You are talking about happiness. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the one who is in a happiness, one who is in a happiness in self alone, is said to be in a transcendental state of mind.
You can repeat?
One who finds happiness in self alone is said to be in a transcendental state of mind.
Yeah.
So that means what state of mind you are in, that's what it matters.
Yeah. Yes. Any question?
Krishna says that there is no separate time to have an existence,
and then there is no separate time to have an existence. Yeah. Eternal.
We are all eternal. Before creation, we were
created. Yeah. Nothing is created. Everything is there. It's manifested, unmanifested. Spiritual world is eternal, material world is eternal. Spiritual world never unmanifests, material world sometimes manifests, sometimes unmanifests. That's the difference. Okay? So don't worry, you don't belong to the material world, you belong to the spiritual world. You are the spirit soul, you are not the material soul. Any other question?
Compared to four Kumaras and Kardama Muni, because four Kumaras, they
Yes. Obey the order. Who is a better disciple? So it is said that disciples should obey all the orders of Guru except one order. If the Guru says marry, if you disagree with that, no offense. Understand? So Kumaras are also glorious and Kardubamini is also glorious. But a disciple has the full right to disagree with the Guru, not to marry. So that freedom is given. So it shows how much important it is to be renounced. Right? Very much important. You can disobey the order of your Guru also. So it's the choice. So four Kumaras, Bhama was not so happy. But what to do? They chose their life. Like that. So you can also choose life. But ultimately Kumaras are glorious not because they married. They did not marry. Their life became glorious because they completely dedicated their life for the service. That is glory. Also, one life without marriage is also glorious, Popa said. Popa said, you have given for your wife so many lifetimes. Give one life to Krishna completely. That is very exceptional. This is very glorious. Very pleasing to Krishna. That is also there. Because we are talking about grihastha life, we have to glorify that. Any other question? So we'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samveta Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bhav.